Hey, everybody, we're back with Dr. Josh Yellen at the Sports Medicine Update, and we are on the Sports Medicine broadcast, and I have hijacked the show from Jeremy Jackson. And to my left is Brett Singer, and Brett is a registered dietitian, and he is also a certified... Explain what the certification is.
Certified Specialist in Sports Dietetics.
Certified Specialist in Sports Dietetics, CSSD.
Correct.
And yesterday we had somebody with a similar certification, Steve Smith, right? And Steve is with the Texans. And you're with Memorial Hermann. And in addition to Brett being a registered dietitian and a certified sports...
Certified Specialist in Sports Dietetics, CSSD.
This is going bad. He's got his master's degree, and he's also an adjunct instructor for us at the University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program. So, Brett, tell everybody that's listening, what was your talk about today?
My talk was about nutrition for sports medicine injuries, so essentially fueling the injured athlete.
Okay, so elaborate a little bit on that. I mean, what do they need to know? So, for instance, and I'm constantly using my son as a case study, right? 16 years old. He's growing. You know, he eats 5,000 calories a day. So what do people need to know? What are some takeaway points from your talk today?
Yeah, so I think oftentimes of the most obvious, no, I'm not a physical therapist, I'm not an athletic trainer, so I think of the obvious one, which is ACL reconstruction, and so that's where we see so much of in PT clinics and I deal with so nowadays. And so one of the big things is always, hey, can we, how do we minimize the muscle during that first phase, and how do we build back muscle and return to sport as quickly as possible? So all we're looking at from a nutrition, how do we get them to maintain their weight in their early phase? How do we get them to maintain as much of that muscle? And just overall, make sure they're eating quality diet to help support their...
So talk about some of the modifications that you would make, right? So obviously, we have a very functional athlete consuming somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 calories a day, and then they get injured. So and then all of that caloric expenditure stops. So talk about some modifications that you...
So you need to think about, you know their energy needs are going to go down, right? You know their protein needs are going to go up. So they need to take in less carbohydrates, they need to take in less fat overall, and they need to increase their protein pretty dramatically. So a little less or a little more than a gram per amount of body weight, or what the recommendation is. It's about 2 to 2.5 grams per kilogram is what we'll often.
Really?
So substantially high protein, yet less calories overall.
When they're injured.
So the reason for that is we run into what we call anabolic resistance. So the athlete is immobilized, you consume protein or they consume protein, their muscle gets much less response than if it wasn't muscle. And so we now need to take in more of that protein to help try and get a similar response.
So it's not just an overall caloric reduction, it's an overall caloric reduction in fat and carbohydrate, but an increase in protein. So maybe with an athlete I was doing 2.2 grams of protein per kilogram body weight, now you want me to push to about 2.5 grams.
So it could potentially go that high. It may not necessarily need to go that high, but if
you're
trying
to maintain... How do you make that determination?
So what we're looking at is just overall what's realistic to be first and foremost. So that's my goal, but oftentimes, especially the first week or two after surgery, how their appetite is, it's unlikely they're going to get better. So what's realistic for them? You may have some guys who eat and live off of protein all the time, so that's easy for them to do. So we'll do that. But I'd always try and go higher on that. So if I can go 2.5 grams per kilogram, then great. But if it's not realistic for them, then let's shoot for 2. We still may not get there, but we're probably going to be doing better than most athletes are. Because most athletes oftentimes neglect it because the first few weeks, they don't have my ability to get to food very easily, right? Unless someone's sitting there serving them all the time.
Right. They got to order food in. They got to make food for them.
Right. So do they have family support there? Do they have friends support there? Are their parents or family members leaving them there at home all day while they're at work? If you're injured, you're on the couch, how likely are you to get up and go make? And if you are, how good of a quality meal is that going to be?
Yeah, so, right. You probably just want something easy and I can grab. And
appetite is suppressed, and yet protein is the most satiating. So now you're adding a lot more protein. It's very filling at a time where their appetite is
And it's typically harder to make than a simple carbohydrate or a fat, right? It's real easy to grab some potato chips.
So you have to be clever and creative with it. So you may even have to supplement with it. It's possible that you may need to do that. So it may not be feasible to have meat every meal. You need to have some meat, some dairy, and then maybe supplement like a protein powder or whey protein in between
Speaking of that, right, we have a lot of people that are interested in the protein powders. Is there a... And I know that you're not plugging one brand, but is there a certain brand of protein powder you like to...
And Steve talked about it yesterday. NSF certified for sport. That's kind of one of our easiest things from our standpoint that we can look at and say, well, just right off the bat, if you're going to choose a supplement, then at least choose something off that list. Mm-hmm. So first, is it something that you need to have? And in whey protein may scenario, something we could benefit from. Mm-hmm. And then if you are, then choose one off, because the more I've learned about it, the more I realize there are so many things that go in a supplement that we don't think about. Mm-hmm. We just think about the product in front of us, right? But you don't think about the production or where it's being produced. And you don't think about all the individual ingredients and where that company is having to get those ingredients from and mm-hmm. all the things that they can do. So I was at a conference a couple weeks ago where it was interesting, NSF and other companies already testing which check for banned substance. Mm-hmm. And just hearing how companies that are reputable companies trying their best and yet have still run that mm-hmm. banned substance because they a salt or a product from mm-hmm. whatever random country that happened to be. Mm-hmm. And then that either got on the equipment or was in the product itself, and then something that's being harmful or illegal. So you always want to try and NSF certified for sport is a supplement, a third party that tests mm-hmm. knows that comes nothing banned, legal, harmful. So that's one I would choose.
Okay, so NSF mm-hmm. certified for sport. Uh-huh. All right. As an athletic trainer, I want to be able to remember this. And as an educator, I want to remember this. But I think more importantly, as a parent of an athlete, I want to be able to remember this.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on. We talked about the acute phase of recovery, right? Increased yep. protein. Let's talk about the phases back to recovery. So after that acute phase from a nutrition and dietetic standpoint is going to last for, 6 weeks?
So we call it a mobilization phase. So it depends on how long that is. So it could be 6 to 8 weeks, or mm-hmm. it could be longer or shorter to injury, mm-hmm. right? ACL, oftentimes 6 to 8 weeks or so. And then after that, then they start to the point where they're starting to put some weight on it and start to do a little bit more resistance. And now they're starting to phase into that more hypertrophy phase where we're trying to build muscle back.
Tell us about the nutrition modifications made during that phase.
So now, as you can imagine, so the athlete's starting to be more physically active, mm-hmm. so calorie needs go back up again. So they're going to start to gradually increase. We don't want them gaining dramatic amounts of weight, and we don't want them losing dramatic amounts of weight. We still want them weight at that.
So even the acute phase, right, the mobilization right. phase, I'm going to weigh you in fairly often, and I just
want
to make sure
that weight. Because if they gain weight mobilization, it's likely to be body fat, mm-hmm. not muscle. Mm-hmm. And if they lose weight, then they're going to be more susceptible to losing muscle at that time than mm-hmm. they would be. So we want to make sure that they try and sustain their weight. Oftentimes, people try and take advantage of the injury and say, now's the time to go lose weight because of one thing or another. We don't want that. We want to try and eat during that.
So you're getting back to recovery, and now's the time. Okay, we're going to start to put on skin. Okay.
So now we're going to start to do a little more calories, do a little less protein, oddly mm-hmm. enough. So now their response to protein is increasing because physically active. So now their protein's decreased to probably 1 to 2 grams per kilogram.
Okay.
So a little less. Not going to hurt them to go more than that.
Kind of counterintuitive, right?
Counterintuitive. So they're trying to build muscle. But now what's happening is they're more responsive because you're providing this. Mm-hmm. It's immobilized. There is no stimulant because mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. more anabolic resistance during the immobilization phase. So now they do a little bit less protein. Carbohydrates will gradually increase because now their calories increase and because their energy overall is going to increase. You have to think now they're being more physically active in therapy. So you want to support that physical activity. Mm-hmm. You don't want them exhausted or overexerting themselves, fatigued. You want them.
And now let's move into the final return to play mm-hmm. Protocol. So we went to mobilization, we're during rehab, and now let's start to talk about return to activity. What are some things you want to look for?
All right, so now you want to just get into the habit again of fueling like an athlete. So you want to be eating every 3 to 4 hours. You want a good quality protein source every one of those meals, mm-hmm. and you want a fair amount of starch, and you always want some sort of colorants as well. So you just want to start getting into the habit, and you obviously want that to be good quality. Mm-hmm. So you want a lot of color in there. You want to have whole greasy foods fried. So you're just trying to get back to the appropriate eating. So it goes back to the diet.
All right. So just to wrap up here, what are some take-home messages that you want your athletes and you want your athletic trainers to know?
So during that immobilization phase, during that first 6 to 8 weeks after a substance injury, make sure that you're getting good quality protein. Make sure that you're getting plenty of protein, and make sure that you're not gaining that time, and get lots of good quality, colorful foods. So plenty of protein, plenty of color, and then you move on to the next phase. Reduce protein just a bit and start to gradually incorporate a little bit more starchy or whole grain support the growing.
And then you said if you need a supplement, make sure that you're looking for NSF certified
for sport.
Yeah, for sport supplements. And that's just going to be a label. So if I can go to GNC,
right, it's a little blue circle in the front.
If I go to Kroger, right. That's what I'm looking for.
Right. So there's a blue circle in the front that'll say NSF in white. So mm-hmm. blue circle with white lettering, NSF, and then you can always log on to the website NSF Certified for Sport, and you can literally look for a list of supplements, I'd say,
and if protein it's, or whatever. Right. It is. So if it's NSF Certified for Sport, then more than likely it's compliant with NCAA Correct. And IOC.
Correct.
Great. Well, for the Sports Medicine broadcast at the Sports Medicine Update, this is Dr. Josh Yellen. I'm with Brett Singer. And that's a wrap. Hey, Brett, before I go, sorry, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, if they have some questions, how do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on two ways. Email at brett.singer@memorialherman.org or at bsinger10.
The Twittersphere.
I'm still not on the Twittersphere.
Twitter is important.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
MAT program has a Twitter
I know that's
account.
Mark.
He doesn't tweet much for it, but there is a Twitter account.
Facebook. All right, that's a wrap. We got to go.